prayer for illumination, which is printed in the bulletin.
Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And today's reading, there's a little typo in the bulletin. Today's reading is going to be from the book of Acts, but it's chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. And it's on page 1705 in your Bible, if you want to follow me. See, I'm old. I have to use my glasses or I can't see anything. Okay, and this is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you were reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.
Saw the video I created this week. It was shared via the church newsletter and it was posted on our Facebook page. And for those of you who didn't see it, I just want to introduce a new program we're starting here at the church. Every week we'll be recording and sharing a 90-second video that will preview the upcoming Sunday service. We're hoping the video will provide a little bit of spiritual nourishment in the craziness of the midweek and get you thinking about the subject we'll be exploring in more depth on Sunday. In this week's video, I shared my updated version of this story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and it went something like this. You're in your Escalade, which is your big, fancy, shiny car, and you're coming home from an important meeting you hosted of Wall Street analysts. You're a corporate finance person, and you're well-respected throughout the industry. You've made it big in corporate America, but you know that you'll never make it to the top because either you're gay or you're a woman or you're a person of color or maybe you have a disability. Tonight, you find yourself on a really scary deserted road in New York City. I was trying to think of the scariest road I could think of, but I couldn't come up with one. Maybe you have your personal favorite scary road. You're stopped at a light, and as you're waiting for it to change, your mind wanders, and for some reason you say out loud, "What does it all mean?" As soon as the words leave your mouth, some homeboy comes up and knocks on your window. He heard what you said, and he says to you the most amazing thing. "Yo, I got your answer." We call the stories we find in the Bible sacred because they tell us not only how God was working in the first Christian communities long ago, but because these stories allow us to get to know God and see where she's working in our world today. God was on that desert road 2,000 years ago, and she is also on the streets of New York City today. Take, for example, the Ethiopian eunuch. He may seem impossibly foreign to us today, a relic of a past that has no bearing on our world here in Greenpoint. But he is actually the embodiment of many of the issues we still struggle with as a society and a religious community. To be a eunuch at the time the book of Acts was written meant you were probably a slave. You probably were the property of someone else. But unlike what we often think of slaves in our culture, eunuchs often held positions of power and responsibility in their societies. In our passage, we're told that this eunuch was responsible for the entire treasury of the Queen of Ethiopia. In America today, this dual nature of the eunuch is still very active in our culture. It's the residue of our own troubling history of slavery. Think of all the African Americans who have positions and roles of great responsibility in our nation. President Obama, Toni Morrison, Aretha Franklin, and the list goes on. And also consider how many in our culture still see these great Americans as being fundamentally of less worth than a white person who would occupy the same position. The Ethiopian eunuch, he is us. In first century Palestine, being castrated meant you were also seen as fundamentally disabled. Think about all the stress the various books of the Bible put on the ability to have a family and the shame of those who couldn't conceive. Think of Abraham and Sarah and the whole drama that led up to Sarah conceiving Isaac. Or Zechariah and Elizabeth and what had to happen to them in order for Elizabeth to give birth to John. Yet all of these hurdles these couples had to endure were seen as better than the ultimate shame and practical hardship of being childless. Not only is the shame of being a eunuch tied into a sense of lessened masculinity, it is also the shame of not being able to be the patriarch of your own family. The stigma of being disabled, in whatever form that disability takes, still haunts us today. For example, in the U.S., only 35% of working-age people with disabilities are in fact working, compared to 78% of those without disabilities. In the UK, nearly two-thirds of people said they would try to avoid a person with a disability simply because they felt uncomfortable being around someone differently abled. To be perceived as differently abled from what is understood as normal still has a profound impact on the type of access and respect one has in our enlightened society. The Ethiopian eunuch, he's us. In the world of Acts, being castrated also excluded you from the communal worship of God. According to Deuteronomy, being a eunuch meant you couldn't be part of the synagogue, the assembly of the faithful. It didn't matter if you were faithfully observant of all the laws of the Torah, you were still alienated from being able to worship God in community. What's so fascinating and rings so true from this experience for many sexual minorities today is that this eunuch continued to respond to his inner spiritual calling. He went up to Jerusalem to worship, even though he would never be admitted into the temple. I think of my Methodist friend Bruce, who I'm going to seminary with. He's writing his ordination essays and sharing the truth how he is equally gay and Christian. And he's being told to erase any mention of being gay out of his essays because his sexuality will immediately disqualify him from ministry. The Ethiopian eunuch, he's us. He is all the parts of us that are marginalized, rejected, and discriminated against in our society and in our church communities. He is the part of us that lies beneath the sparkly veneer of success and privilege and togetherness that we so desperately want to project. But the story doesn't end here. It doesn't stop with the eunuch and his entourage out on a desert highway. It doesn't stop waiting for a red light to change on a deserted road in New York City. It doesn't end with the continuation of white supremacy over people of color. It doesn't end with the differently abled being denied access to work and being shunned by their neighbors. It doesn't end with my friend Bruce erasing the truth of who he is to be able to serve his community. Because this is actually where the story begins. This is the beginning of the good news when God enters into the story. Heaven and earth touch, and the traffic light turns green. When we think about the end times, the times when Jesus will come again, we often think of the imagery of the apocalypse. We think of a specific moment of time somewhere in the future when the sun will stop shining and the mountains will crumble, and many of us, including myself, will be thrown into a fiery pit. But these stories of the end also tell us that those who try to follow God's plan, who respond to Jesus' invitation, will be reclaimed, will be gathered back to God, and live in her radiance forever. What we are witnessing in the story of the eunuch and Philip is an expression of these end times. God has sent her spirit to Philip and directed him to the eunuch to teach him and reveal the truth found in Jesus' teaching. The eunuch isn't lost on a desert road. He's lost within the systems of domination and exclusion that permeate his society, just as racial minorities, the differently abled, and LGBTQI people have been traditionally lost in our society. But God knows exactly where to send Philip, and she offers the eunuch full membership in her kingdom just as he is. Notice that this story of the eunuch and Philip isn't a healing story. Philip isn't sent to undo the mutilation that made the Ethiopian a eunuch. He doesn't cure the eunuch for the glory of God, as happens in so many other healing stories. He is sent to offer the hand of friendship and membership in the newly developing church. This is a story of the end times, not end times in the sense of finality, end times in the sense of purpose. The end of time, the purpose of time, is the work of faith, the work of invitation, and the work of inclusion. What is the most amazing miracle in this story? For me, it's the appearance of that body of water in which the eunuch is baptized. Remember, Acts says that the eunuch was on a road in the desert, a dry place without water. Once the eunuch understands who Jesus is and how his message can transform the world, suddenly there's a small body of water. Where there was no possibility of relationship and inclusion before, now there is baptism into the church and a membership of equals. We often hear today how various leaders say that so-and-so shouldn't be included. Immigrants, kick them out. Women in the church, just as long as they're not pastors. Bruce Jenner, hell no. To all these no's, God is saying yes. And this yes is the purpose of creation and the good news. This yes is the process of healing that is redeeming the rift between the races. This yes is the ever-widening inclusion of the differently abled into all facets of our society. And this yes is the embrace of all sexual minorities into the assembly of believers. God has turned the light green. As the eunuch says, there's nothing preventing us from moving forward. Amen. Thank you.